Good morning, everybody. Hope you're having a good service so far. My name's Daniel Daly. I am giving the talk today. So, Passover. It's basically a really interesting time for the Jewish nation, because they year after year are called to remember how God delivered them from the hand of Pharaoh, from the oppression of Pharaoh, out of Egypt, and didn't allow death to come amongst them, but pass over them whenever it saw the blood of an unspotted lamb on the doorposts. And scripture really tells us that Christ is our Passover lamb. And it's an interesting parallel, because what happened to the Israelites back then is clearly a foreshadowing of what happened with Jesus on the cross for us and for our lives. So that the wrath of God was poured out onto Jesus, and that ultimately we were redeemed from out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, into the hands back to our Father. So it's really powerful in that aspect. And also this idea of a new covenant, Jesus announces, again, another really profound moment, because again it was prophesied in the book of Ezekiel 36, 26 to 27 to be exact, where God announces a new covenant is coming, where we will be given a new heart, His Spirit in us, the Holy Spirit in us, and a grace to obey His commands and His laws, and so forth. And this is really what Jesus was announcing. It was that time, right then, at that table, and it was really powerful to see and to read, I guess, for us who weren't there. But blessed are those that believe and haven't seen. That's what he says. Yeah. So, but central to this, I want to concentrate on the blood, because it's a really profound thing, and it's quite, for our sort of Western minds, we can't sort of get our heads around it a little bit. It's a bit of a weird area for us. But it's so powerful, and once we have the understanding of it, I believe it will really encourage us in our faith and our walk with Jesus. So I'm going to break down 7 points about the blood and how it sort of works for us as believers in the Lord. Okay, so point number 1, redemption. Okay, Ephesians 1 verse 7 says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." Again, so Jesus, that passage really highlights how we've been brought back from the kingdom of darkness. We have no more sin debt on us. Jesus has paid it all at the cross, and brought us back to the Father. He's redeemed us, and now we are God's property, so to speak. In Peter 1, 18 to 19, it says, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot." Again, his blood is incorruptible. He lived a perfect, sinless life, and he made that redemption possible once and for everybody who believes and puts their trust in him. It's beautiful to know that there's no more debt for us to be paid. The weight is off our shoulders, so we should walk, again, as the scriptures say, in newness of life. Point number 2, cleansing. The precious blood of Jesus, it cleanses us. 1 John 1 verse 7 says, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin." Again, there's a little bit of a condition there, because of that word, if. So it says, if we walk in the light, you know. So I guess in that if that's the case, then once we're walking in the light, then the blood is cleansing us. And once the blood is cleansing us, then we're walking in the light. So it's a perpetual thing that happens throughout our walk. And so I think it's important for us to make sure that we are walking in the light as well, because otherwise there's no guarantee that we're being continually cleansed, so to speak. But when we are, then we are continually cleansed. So that's how it works. If we go forward to Psalm 51 now, and we look at the life of David, he's another really great example of how the blood cleanses us. And it's really by faith, you know. David, after he had a massive sin fail, he knew God. David really, really knew God. I love the way David, love looking at David's relationship with God. It's so special. But he knew, I mean, surrounded, especially in that time when the sacrifice of animals was happening, he knew that it wasn't about that. He knew that it was just about a simple faith in God. He says, "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow." He's talking to God. He's not talking to anybody else. He says, "You can do it. You're the one that can make me clean. It's your blood. It's your blood." And again, he's referring to the Passover lamb, but he knows there is a lamb in heaven prepared before time that is going to sacrifice for us and free us of our sins. And he knows once that's done, there is no more death, you know? So again, that's really, really powerful to know. My third point today is justification. Romans 5, verse 9. "Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And again, as I mentioned earlier, how the Egyptians, the angel of death was passing over Egypt to kill the firstborn and so forth, and anyone that was out in the street at that time. And it's really, a foreshadowing of the coming judgment of God. And now, for those in Christ, God has laid that judgment on Christ so that we don't have to experience the wrath of God. And that, again, he paid it with his life. He died. He laid it down for us that we might, you know, take up life and walk in newness of life in fellowship with the Father. I mean, this word justification simply means to be made righteous. In God's eyes now, because we've been speckled with the blood of Christ on our hearts and on our lives, we look righteous, completely sin-free. We're perfect. If anything, we can break down that word and say, justified me just as if I'd never sinned. That kind of thing. Yeah, this is what we're dealing with here. It's incredible to know that our God has done all of this just for us. He's so good, isn't he? Okay, Isaiah 61:10 talks about greatly rejoicing in the Lord and how we're covered with a robe of righteousness and the garments of salvation. Again, we should really celebrate this. We should celebrate Jesus, our Passover lamb, because our righteousness is filthy rags. You know, all our works, all the things that we want to act up and try and do and work up and pay our way into heaven and all this and that, it stinks before God. But Jesus has covered us. He's paid the debt, and now we're justified. We need to celebrate this. And so I just want to encourage you again today, in a prayer today, maybe just celebrate that in prayer. Just tell God how you feel about that situation with a heart full of gratitude. My fourth point today, sanctification. Hebrews 13, verse 12. "Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate." So this really speaks of Jesus suffering outside of the gate and really separating us from anything that is evil. You know, him suffering on that cross, his blood really sets that divide now. And there's no association with us and evil anymore at all. You know, we're completely, we're made new in Christ. It's so, so reassuring to know that when we meet him, there's not going to be any sort of difficult situation in heaven, but that, like, as long as we're walking in the light and trusting in him, then there's sanctification. The word sanctification, the word saint actually comes from the word sanctification. So ultimately, by his blood, we're made saints. We're all made saints. Not just Valentine and other, and Nicholas and all those special calendar days, or Patrick, that's it, or George even. But we're all saints by his blood. So I hope that clears something up for you there. My fifth point today is life. The blood of Jesus gives us life. This is a really a deep kind of point, actually, about the blood. In John 6, 53 to 54, it says, "Then Jesus said to them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you,'" that's what, you know, he's being serious when he says "most assuredly." "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." So again, this is God. This is really interesting, because it says we have no life in us unless we drink his blood, unless we by faith partake of communion with him. And also it has a guarantee on it, "and I will raise him up on the last day." So by participating in, I guess he's talking particularly about communion here, there's a guarantee applied to it, as long as we take this communion by faith, kind of thing. And by faith we have eternal life, and it's a sign that we have eternal life and proclaim that we have eternal life. In fact, a really interesting point in some Arab parts of Christendom, so to speak, they have this, they really understand that life is in the blood, like where it says in Leviticus that the life of any flesh is in the blood. And so they know that by participating in communion, that Jesus's life is, they are literally partaking of his life into them. They're drinking his blood. And so they actually say in some places, "Come, let us drink the blood of Jesus." Obviously, because they understand that it is life-giving. But yeah, I mean, it's an interesting one as well, because there's many people that believe that, you know, when you partake of the blood and, sorry, yeah, the blood and the flesh, or the bread and the wine, that it sort of translates, or it somehow, what's it called? Transubstantiation. Where it changes, and it changes into the physical blood and the physical body of Jesus somehow. But whether that's right or whether it's wrong, I'm really not too concerned about. I'm more concerned about us being obedient to what Jesus says. He says, you know, unless you participate in this, you have no life in you, kind of thing. So I think it's just more about being obedient to God, and really just remembering that when we're taking the bread and the wine, that we're proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. Okay, the next point, is intercession. So the blood of Jesus, it actually speaks. Okay, so we've got Hebrews 12:22. "But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel." So it's really interesting how that passage ends, because we know that the story of Cain and Abel, when God looked down, he saw the blood of Abel literally crying out from the ground. And so it's a really interesting sort of, what they call it, juxtaposition of the two being put together there, because you've got Abel's blood which was shed against his own will, but then Jesus' blood he gave willingly. You've got Abel's blood that was shed on earth, and Jesus' blood which is sprinkled in the Holy of Holies that's in heaven. And then we've got Abel's blood that was crying out for vengeance, and then Jesus' blood which calls for forgiveness and mercy. And it's that blood that speaks on our behalf, even. It's the blood of Jesus on the mercy seat that acknowledges us, that says he's one of ours, he's one of mine. You know, there's forgiveness on this one, kind of thing. And so it should give us a lot of confidence when we approach him, that we're not to feel necessarily ashamed per se, but we knowing that we've been sprinkled, having forgiveness and the mercy of God readily waiting to listen to us. My last point is access. So Hebrews 10 verse 19 to 22. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let's draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So we've got direct access to God. We know that we know that we know, because we have no evil, our hearts have no evil conscience in God's presence. There's nothing there. We can just go boldly to God our Father. And it's all because of what Jesus has done for us. Again, shedding his life for us, shedding his blood. And really, I think these points, that's it. Those are my 7 points. But really, they're so powerful in a sense that, like, you know, we may at times feel like we're far away from God, or that you know, that we're in a bit of a rut in terms of like sin and so forth. But I think it's about what the Bible says. Like, in Psalm 107 verse 2, it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And so we should really be encouraged to speak these things out. And as we're doing so, I think it really does sort of help us to really see how free we are in God. It really shows us how, you know, we've been brought back. You know, we're clean, we are justified, we are sanctified, we're reckoned righteous in God's eyes. We're ultimately looking perfect in God's eyes, and that can only be attained through Jesus, because he was perfect, and clearly of our own volition we're not, but in him we are, and we're continually covered in him. So we should, you know, really, really embrace that and run with it. And again, I think all this was done basically for us to recognize that we are family with each other and then also with God. And I think that's a really important point, that this new covenant was a much more sort of much more personal covenant, a much more family orientated thing. And I think that's what God wants us to understand, in the very notion of him giving his blood for us, and covering us in that blood. He's saying, you're of my bloodline, basically. Now you're of my family, you are my family. And that's really what I want to end today, is just in this we are welcomed in to his family. And so we have complete access to God, and embrace it, run with it, use it, use the blood, speak the blood over your lives. Tell a friend as well. You know, I have direct access to God because of Jesus. That's it. Amen.